The sandwich generation faces pressures around time and relationships, raising a family while caring for relatives, maybe doing paid work too. And if you're thinking about retiring soon, you might be a bit worried about maintaining all of that. Mark Bynum is a veteran financial advisor with a particular interest in helping the sandwich generation. His new book is called Money Sandwich. Is this you? Has the current economic climate affected your decision about retirement, particularly if you're in that sandwich generation? And a disclaimer before we start, this advice is general in nature. Make sure you seek out your own financial advice before making big decisions with your money. With all that being said, Mark, welcome to Life Matters.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It is a pleasure. Now, not all retirees and soon-to-be retirees are going to be in the same basket, but the current economic situation will be hitting many people's bank accounts regardless. So let's start with inflation. What impact is that having on those at retirement age?
It's a really interesting time, Natalie, because, you know, inflation, you know, for as long as I can remember, it was always cash rates was higher than inflation. And we just have a particular period of time now where actually inflation is higher than the cash rate you're getting at a bank. So that really even makes it the situation worse. So we just have to, it is a very tough time, and why the Reserve Bank have actually doing so much in raising interest rates to try and get this inflation under control. But I think probably the main point, and the Reserve Bank, it keeps going on about this, it is going to be temporary in nature. And I think that's the one shining light through all this, that yes, we might have to tighten our belts a little bit for a while, but it is temporary.
Well, that's good to hear. But, you know, you're just saying, so this is a bit unprecedented. Like, when was it last like this? So many people being caught unawares?
Well, for especially if we take back, superannuation goes back to the early 80s, even right back to the post-war, we really haven't seen where inflation was nearly double the actual cash rate. So this is really new territory for, especially like I'm in my 60s now and have been was an advisor for over 30 years, and it never happened. It hadn't happened to this point in time.
Yeah, well, you were in your 60s. You're part of the sandwich generation, or so you call yourself. And on the text line, if you do want to get in touch and join the conversation, a few people are just asking for a bit of clarification on what that sandwich generation means. So could you explain, please, Mark?
Certainly. Well, I first read about this in America, and it was more to do with legal matters, estate planning, and the transition of wealth from the elderly to people who were in their 50s and 60s. And they were calling it the sandwich generation. I actually decided to go into it a little bit further because it's not really a popular term or a well-known term here in Australia. So it just simply means people who are in their 50s and 60s, this generation, have elderly parents on one side because it's fantastic with better health. People are living longer. And so, you know, it's not uncommon for people to be in their 80s and 90s now. And on the other side, you have your millennial children and all people leaving school or starting the workforce. And traditionally, in previous generations, as soon as you left school, you basically left home. Whereas, as we've seen with house prices and COVID, adult children are staying home or having to return to the home. And so we're seeing this very unusual situation. It's a great situation. I've got adult daughters and spending more time with them, but it's actually for our own situation. We're looking at these two generations on either side, but we're also realizing, you know, we're in a decade or two before retirement, and we need to get our own finances and money sorted as well.
Yeah, that is a lot of different challenges. So how can you prepare? What sorts of financial considerations should you be making for retirement, given those extra familial commitments that the sandwich generation has, and especially in this time of very high inflation?
Yeah, I think for people, if they're especially, and you started out with saying about people retiring now, potentially retiring now, I think it's the same thing with, as I was saying about inflation. You know, we do believe that it will be come under control and lowered within probably 12 to 18 months. So it's not as if, you know, when we get really bad news, people do tend to think, oh, well, okay, this will be forever. You know, the share market's down. This will be forever. It does rebound, or it does get back under control. And I do see the same here. So if people are considering retiring now, I think it's just a matter of, oh, okay, the share market's down, I'm going to have to work another 10 years. No, you just actually have to see this. Okay, when I'm taking my retirement funds, I'm going to only need for the next 12 months how much I would need, and allow the rest of it to still sit there and wait for the rebound of the share market or your superannuation to come back up. So it's, again, it's a temporary feeling, and trying to separate, okay, if I do wish to retire now or in the next year or two, that I only need as much as I need to live on that year or the next year. The rest can still have a well-thought-out investment strategy.
But Mark, are we likely to see more fluctuations in the market in the future? Should we have a buffer saved regardless?
Yes, it absolutely makes sense. And that's why I think 1 to 2 years cash outside of how your money is invested in your superannuation or outside in shares. So that's, to me, what you feel having a buffer is probably at the maximum 2 years, but 1 to 2 years worth of income. But I also just say, you know, while we don't know the future and all we can do is basically go off history, and a negative return, and we're in a negative at the moment, is usually only around one in every 10 years. The other 9 years are positive. And we really, up until this negative year, the 2008 global financial crisis was the last big time we had a significant drop of the share markets. And every other year, pretty well, while it was slightly up and down, we're all positive, to the point that you're seeing a lot of ads on TV saying the average return for the average super fund has been about 10% over the last 10 years. So yes, we are seeing, we're in a down market at the moment, but again, it's usually 1 year in about every 10.
Well, that's some reassuring news, Mark. This is Life Matters. I'm Nat Tendich, and you're hearing from Mark Bynum. He's a financial advisor with 30 years of experience and past president of the Association of Financial Advisors. He's also author of Money Sandwich, a complete guide to money, family, and financial freedom, particularly for the pre-retirement or just on retirement quote-unquote sandwich generation, which we explained a little bit earlier. We're getting so many questions coming in on the text line, Mark, so I'm going to put a few to you. And if you need to seek some financial advice of your own, to please seek out a professional. But there is also a question on this too, Mark. So let's get to a few of these. Sure. Someone here asks, please explain why raising interest rates stops inflation. This seems like it really hurts poorer folk. Mark, do you have an answer for this?
Yes, it absolutely causes short-term pain, but it's what we've really seen from being locked in our homes for the last 2 years. We haven't been able to travel. We really haven't been able to go out and spend. Is the last 6 months, people have been out spending far more. I think it's up like 10, 15% of their spending to what they would normally do. So people are out there spending, and unfortunately, spending does actually help the inflation, does raise the cost of living. And so we are seeing these inflation. But of course, there are other things that that are outside our control. You know, we're seeing what's happening in Russia, or what's happening overseas with our imports and exports with China. There are things, international issues have sometimes raised the cost of, whether it's coal or wheat and things like that. So if those sort of commodities get raised, are rising because of whatever the international situation is at this time, well, that just has a flow-on effect. Therefore, our petrol prices are higher, our milk is higher. And so, yeah, all these sort of things, as well as our spending. And so so the government wants to try and keep these things, because I think a lot of people would also would remember back to, when mullets were back in fashion back in the early 1980s, when inflation was totally out of control. Mm. I know Cameron Smith, the golfer, wears a mullet really well now, but that's probably the last time we saw mullets. But that really high inflation, it was over 10%. And people in their mind think, I don't want inflation to get that high. And so that's why the Reserve Bank are doing the right thing and reducing inflation, because we don't want to get it out of control. And people are having 15-16% interest rates on their mortgage. So we won't go back to that, because the Reserve Bank are doing a very good job now to keep it all under control. But it's temporary, and it is belt tightening just for the moment, but it's not permanent.
It's just a fashion trend. It's just a mullet.
Yes, exactly right.
Someone else has asked, can you please explain inflation and cash rate? Real basic stuff. Mark, can you help us out?
Yeah, no, certainly. Well, this is what I'm saying. This is a very unusual situation because traditionally the cash rate was always 1% on average above inflation rate. So if we had a couple of years ago, virtually a 0% inflation, and therefore the cash rate at the bank was 1%. And you went usually, and therefore on average, shares at the other end of the scale were probably 6 or 7% above inflation. Well, it just happens to be that the cash rate has been kept low, but as I'm saying, you know, the Reserve Bank can control the actual cash rate, but outside external factors control inflation. So we are just in this period where inflation has gone past the cash rate. So that's why, you know, when I used to talk to my clients, and I should say, I'm now a financial coach, is that when I used to talk to my clients, I used to always say that when you look at your inflation and you have your cash on that, that's why you do need a really well thought out investment strategy, because in this particular situation with inflation being higher than cash, it actually, and I don't want to try and get technical, but it's actually producing a negative return. Your cash rate isn't keeping up with your cost of living. Mm-hmm. So you really do, if you've just got all your money sitting in a bank account, you do need to think twice about what else can I do to get my money working harder for me. And I'm not saying just put it all out there in the share market or anything like that. It needs to be well thought out and to get good advice, but you do need to think properly. But again, this is temporary.
Then I think you might have the answer for our next texter. And I do want to talk about investment strategies and super, in particular, a massive investment for most people. But on the text line, somebody says, I have been putting extra money into my super for the past 5 years. Last year, my fund made $70,000 in profit. This year, $60,000 has been wiped away. Mark, should I take out the cash?
As I said, this is not advice, but if I was talking to any of my clients I've coached or anything like that, what I would basically say is it's really hard to time markets. You know, people have been trying to do this forever, and very rarely do you get it right, because you don't know when the share market's going to drop, and importantly, you don't know when it's going to rebound, and it might rebound basically all in within one day. So usually the best advice in these situations, but we used to talk to our clients, was to ride out the goods and the bads, because as they're saying, this person is just looking at it in last year compared to this year. But if that person looks back to the previous 9 years, they're all positive as well. So on average, yes, you have a bad year this year, but on average over, say, 10 years, and you don't, over 10 years, you've done well. So, yep, ride out the bad year, and then historically, hopefully the next 10 years will be positive. But yeah, never try and look at returns over a 1 year or two or even 3 year period. You should always be looking 7 to 10 years to get a good average.
And I mean, when it's coming so close to retirement, you can understand why people are feeling a bit skittish about those drops in value. Oh, so, yeah
absolutely. It's one of those things, though, that I do talk to people. We've been brought up with 65 is that magic year. We're going to retire. And that was, you know, brought back over 100 years ago, that retirement was at age 65. So it hasn't really that changed that much in 100 years. So, but the average life expectancy was only 55. So the government said, yeah, if you make it to 65, we'll give you the pension, because you weren't expected to live that long. Well, of course, now people are living into the 80s and 90s and people are receiving this pension. So I do think people need to think of, well, okay, I have a retirement date, but I'm now entering the best phase of my life, the next 30 years. And so, yes, enjoy this time, but in the background, still get your money working harder for you, so that that just doesn't mean, oh, well, okay, I'm just going to put it all into a bank and forget about it and only get 1 or 2%. So you do need to give this some thought, because you do have 20 to 30 years. And I heard this great quote a while back, that the greatest risk isn't where you're investing your money, but that you may outlive your money.
I do have a text to sort of speak to those kind of years and the recovery, though, because someone makes a great point that, you know, it might only be one in 10 years that goes backwards, but it's often quite bad and it takes many years to recover back to where your asset or, you know, your investment value was. You know, this person says the market almost halved with the GFC and you might not have necessarily 10 years to have that recover. So, you know, what do you say to the length of time that it takes to recover that value?
It took 2 years from the global financial crisis for it to recover. Just over 2010 was a very positive year. So it doesn't take as long as people think. But again, yes, if someone says, well, I've only got 5 years, I'd have to sort of ask, you know, why are you actually think you've only got 5 years of life expectancy left? Every person is different. But all we can do is based on the average, most people, and the stats are that over 40% of people, or 40% of women who are 65 now will live to 90. So that's you know, nearly half of women population. It's about 30% for men. So it's still a large population that will have another 30 years. So yes, if your time frame, and it may, there are occasions, you know, yes, I need to pay off a mortgage or I need to use this money for a particular reason. So I may only have 2 or 3 years. Well, absolutely, your money shouldn't be in a high share market because that should only be for long term.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the mortgages and that impact as well. This is Life Matters on RN. You're hearing from Mark Bynum. He's a financial advisor with 30 years experience, or financial coach now, but past president of the Association of Financial Advisors and author of Money Sandwich, A Complete Guide to Money, Family and Financial Freedom. If you have questions for Mark, obviously, Mark, interest rates are having a large impact on people. You know, they're rising inexorably. How is this affecting retirees or soon-to-be retirees, especially compared to previous generations?
It definitely is having an effect. We saw the ABS, the Australian Bureau of Statistics, come out that in the last 20 years, it's tripled for the amount of people in retirement who have mortgages to what they did 20 years ago, saying that it's like 3% to 9%, but it has tripled. What I say is there's a couple of things to this, but the most important thing is in that time, we have seen house prices skyrocket. So yes, a lot more people may have now have a higher mortgage, but it actually has come with much higher house prices and asset value. So whereas 20 years ago, if you looked at the average mortgage against the actual value of that home, people are actually in a better position right now because their asset value of that home is so much more. We've just been seeing the prices in the major city, capital cities, and they've just been the last 3 or 5 years, and it's just astronomical what prices those homes are going for now. So yes, it is higher, and I think for people who have a mortgage, it's not the best thing. I do believe most people should retire with comfort and with the knowledge that they are debt-free. But I think as long as you're sitting on a sizable asset with that mortgage, and the amount of asset compared to how much debt you have against that asset is significant, then you're in a pretty good position. But again, I'd still try and take some planning and thinking, well, okay, I'm going to try and still pay this off over 5 years, or I'm going to maybe use some of my super, or I'll do something to make sure, or even as a lot of people we've seen in the last 3 or 4 years have downsized and doing the sea change or tree change, and taking the asset they've got in the capital city, buying something smaller in the country or on the coast and paying off the mortgage away. So you just need a bit of a plan. But yes, it is something that is a trend that we do need to watch, because having debt in retirement isn't a good thing.
Yeah, downsizing is a potential way of getting through this. But if the property market's falling as it is now, then don't you risk losing that equity that you've been sitting on for retirement if you sell it now?
Yes, I think it's one of those things that, you know, in Sydney it has dropped about 4 or 5%. But I think, again, you look at the last 6 years, property has virtually doubled. So if something's gone up by 100% and it's this particular year, it's dropped by 4 or 5%, you're still a long way ahead. So I think it's important to look at these things overall rather than in isolation. But yes, you know, every capital city seems to take its turn. So the last 2 or 3 years, the property has virtually doubled here in Sydney. It's now flattening off because it couldn't keep at those high rates. But now we're seeing Brisbane and just doing significant, Southeast Queensland doing significant increases in the value of their homes. So it's definitely the down property over the long term has always done well. So yes, there will always be 1 or 2 years where property rates are down, but or property values are down, but that's just what we are in Sydney and Melbourne, but other places in Australia are still doing very, very well.
Some on the text line might consider, you know, there's some privilege in this conversation. There's definitely a group of people who don't have a lot of resources as they age. And if you're in that group and already in retirement, then how should you be responding to this climate?
Yeah, with difficulty, unfortunately. And actually, it was one of the main reasons I wrote the book, because I did realise, and you know, as a financial advisor, I do love that profession, but I did realise with the amount of legal and compliance requirements that financial advisors, it takes probably 20 hours to do any type of report that's required with all the tick boxes you need to do. Well, you only have to time that out by any standard hourly rate, and it becomes an expensive thing. So what I decided to do was write the book, which actually covered all the areas from cash, debt, super, shares, property, for the money sandwich, so that it was an easy, affordable solution. And there's a lot of other people out there now trying to do exactly the same thing, whether it's for the millennial generation or other generations. There's podcasts to help people who would not probably be able to afford or want to pay what they would have to pay for a financial advisor, because only probably about 20% of the population get advice or seek advice. So we do need to have other low-cost solutions. But saying that, one of the things is that when we're in these type of situations, it's really important to understand, well, you know, I'm in my 50s. Is it too late? It's not too late. And as I said, a lot of people used to be thinking, well, am I going to stop at 60 or am I going to stop at 65? Well, no, you've got another 30 years of living to go. So it's important to look at what you have, even if you don't think it's enough, and say, the average superannuation balance out there for a 65-year-old couple is about $420,000. And some people say, well, that's not enough. But as I said, you know, maybe you need to also look at how is that invested? How is that? Is it working as hard as possible for you? Especially if you now think, I've got medium to long term because I'm expected to live for the next 30 years. I want it that working. So yes, for people who don't have as much, there is still the Money Smart website is a phenomenal free website, which has so much information to help pre-retirees and calculators and so on. My own website, The Money Sandwich, has free calculators and resources, newsletters which give tips and all that. So all this is free. So there is help out there if you wish to go look for it. But I think the biggest thing is, if you're in your 50s and 60s and feel, oh, I don't feel my money or how much money I have is enough, well, think of long-term and think of how is it actually invested now? Can I get it working harder for me?
Yeah, this is some really excellent advice. It's very general, just keeping that in mind as well. Yes. From Mark Bynum, who's a former financial advisor and author of Money Sandwich, A Complete Guide to Money, Family and Financial Freedom. And we are going to be doing a part two in this conversation around financial options for those who don't have much super and don't own their own homes. So if you are listening and thinking that this, you know, doesn't necessarily apply to you, or you want to know more of what we would just talking about, we're going to get into real deep detail on that very soon. Getting to some of your final texts on this before we have to move on. Jim says, I retired a few years ago and now all of my decades of hard-earned double-taxed savings are evaporating. It's a really tough time out there too. And Kate has a question for you, because I think this will be very helpful going forward and getting some non-general financial advice. Kate says, how do you find credible financial advice? Because I find it all a bit overwhelming. Mark, what can you leave us with?
Okay. The first thing for the first chap who spoke about, yes, seeing it is, and it's one of those things that is just really tough when you're in a down market, it's just hard, you know, when will this ever end? But all we can do is historically, and we can go back 100 years of the Australian share market, it always does end and the money rebounds and does come back. If you are just needing to use the amount of money that's just what you need to live on right at this moment, leave the funds, the rest of the funds are well invested and just, it's just, you know, what I totally understand, you feel like, oh, I should move it all to cash. When it does rebound, if you miss out on that rebound, it's a lot of people kicking themselves. So I just sort of think sometimes I like to think of it as Boxing Day sale time, and the share market is an emotional beast, and you know, some things can happen overseas that can affect this. And so Boxing Day sales, what was really good the day before is now half price the day after, is still, as long as it's a really good valued piece of item, it will come back or still be worth that value. And that's when you think of Australian superannuation funds, they are strong blue chip institutions that they're investing in and historically have always come back. The second lady, sorry, oh, I missed that question.
Just very, very quickly, because we need to move on, but just where to find credible financial advice.
So, of course. Well, the AFA and the FPA have websites, though you can find financial advisors, financial planners within your own area. But I like to actually check your friends. Someone will have a good recommendation of a financial advisor, or just when you find, go to those websites, you can go, or even actually advisor ratings. They have things that help you give you information on financial advisors and what their specialties are. And you can go see two or three. And, you know, they may all be able to do a good job, but you'll find, like in anything, that you'll, oh, okay, this just seems to fit with me. This seems to be the right type of price that I'm happy to, the value to pay for. But just check around. Sometimes it's like finding a good plumber. You may have to try two or three.
Yeah, second or third opinions are really great.
Absolutely.
Great
try
advice.
And find a referral.
Great. Thank you. Mark, I'm so sorry we're out of time. Mark Bynum is the author of Money Sandwich, A Complete Guide to Money, Family and Financial Freedom.
ABC RN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.